When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. Sorry for not coming to you last week, but it was a busy week. We are back this week, and honestly, there wasn't a bunch to talk about. Still a little bit to talk about this week, including, unfortunately, the Braves are trying to avoid the sweep in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, you know, they've won 5 series in a row.
I don't think they've lost a series
coming into this one, so you know it is what it is. This is they've gotten the Mariners have gotten extremely good pitching performances so far.
Did you watch game one?
No, I haven't seen either one of these games yet. I've been busy both times. But I am curious about I don't know that we should be almost getting no hit by Bryce Miller.
Yeah.
Although he's been fucking great this year so far. So
I watched game one. I was actually kind of annoyed because it was Monday night. I was fucking tired. And I was like, I'm going to go. Oh, because Sunday night we recorded softcore and we were up late because Dan got all blackout drunk on the show. And Delco Dan did. And I was just tired from the day before. And I was like, I want to go to bed early tonight. I'm just fucking tired. But I was like, I'll watch the beginning of the Braves game as I like fall asleep. And then both Fried and Miller took no hitters into the seventh. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, fuck, I can't turn this off. Miller, though, Fried was his normal self. He was good. Not as efficient as in his brilliant start the other day when he pitched a Maddux, like 92 pitches, what, shutout, all that fun shit. But, man, Miller's fastball was electric. I mean, just, it was moving. It was sharp. It was like... It was a type of fastball where it feels like he's throwing a golf ball, not a baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just seemed smaller and quicker than a normal baseball.
We used to call that throwing peas or BBs. Not surprising that Luis Castillo, who came over to the Mariners last year, got off to a slow start, but he turned it around definitely.
Yeah.
Maintained a 1-1 whip, 340 or so ERA. Had a good year last year, a big part of their success. No surprise, he's doing well. Kirby's kind of struggled so far this year, but I'm not worried about that dude because he throws a fucking 98-mile-per-hour two-seam fastball with like 18 inches of break on it somehow. although he's probably – I mean, if you look at the trends going on lately, he's probably going to be up for a TJ sometime in the next year or two.
I think so.
That's everybody just that throws that hard.
Shit.
Logan Gilbert's been – good, pretty good. Bryce Miller is the standout so far this year. I mean, I expect all these other guys to do well. Bryce Miller, he's 25, so he's not terribly young, but he's been really good. He's, I think, the reason that they're in first place over there right now.
It's a first-place team, and as much as people kind of, I think, like look at the Mariners as a whatever organization, rightfully so, but...
They're not very good offensively.
They're not. Julio Rodriguez is having a rough year again. He kind of had a sophomore slump. Broke out of the sophomore slump in the second half, but another rough start for Rodriguez. But, you know, they only missed the playoffs by like a game or two last year, and they were in the playoffs the year before. And, you know, the division they play in had the two ALCS competitors in it. So it's a tough division.
I mean, it's the best division in baseball, probably, right? I mean, top to bottom. Who's the last place team right now is the Astros.
And they won't stay there.
No, you wouldn't expect so. Now, the Angels and Athletics both suck. But I don't know of any other division right now, except for maybe the AL East, that has three legit contenders. Because I don't think – the Padres are not a legit contender, and the Giants are not a legit contender. I think the Diamondbacks can turn it around.
Yeah.
I don't think those other two can. I think the only division with three teams that are legit is the AL West right now.
You know?
Because I don't really believe in Boston. I think Boston's overperforming like crazy right now.
I agree. I'll throw this out there. It's kind of weird. The NL Central has three teams that I like. I don't think that there are three teams that are on the level. I think the Rangers and Astros are better than any team in the NL Central. Definitely, the Astros should be anyway. But the Cubs have a nice team. The Brewers, clearly they know what they're doing in terms of team building so far, because we keep being like, God, they're peeling pieces off and they're in first place. And then the Reds are fucking fun. I love the pieces the Reds have. They're one of, like we said at the beginning of the year, they're one of our turn on the game teams, like if you don't have a game to watch. Elly De La Cruz is the MVP candidate in the National League right now if it weren't for Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
He's got almost 20 stolen bases, I think like 7 or 8 homers. He's a fucking animal.
Yeah, I mean, tactically speaking, he is on pace right now for like a 40-100 season.
Yeah.
Which would be funny coming on the heels of Acuña's season, to just completely blow that out of the water. But
did you see he threw the fastest ball in MLB history the other day?
Oh, how fast was it?
From short to first, 106.9.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fucking animal. It's funny watching him steal bases too, because Acuña is not, I don't think, like a short person, but like Elly De La Cruz is a giant.
Yeah, he takes like 5 steps and he's at the back.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, and back to the Braves in their series right now, they look. I'm not sure who the leader on this team is, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the offensive side of the ball or defensive side of the ball, like the pitching or hitting, who's the leader? I mean, amongst the players, who's the guy that's out there fucking getting everybody juiced up? Because I don't see it right now.
They're looking a little lackaday, a little slug. Now, so my thing with that, in this series in particular, they have looked very lackadaisical. I think in the Cleveland series, they, hard to complain about that because they could have swept. They should have swept, to be honest. Bases loaded, nobody out in the middle game in extra innings, and they can't, and they're the home team and they can't fucking put one in. But taking 2 out of 3 from the other team with the best record in baseball, not going to complain about that, really. But these West Coast trips, man, it's like they suck the life out of the Braves. Every year they make a West Coast trip, and they just look dead. And that's, I agree with you, that's how they've looked the first two games of this series. I think Albies is probably the dude in the lineup still, like we always talk about. But I agree with you. I think the bullpen has leadership. I think, like, Minter, and even though he's not performing like a leader right now, I think Minter and Matzik, those types of guys, are good bullpen presences. Iglesias seems like he never speaks, so I don't really know what his situation is.
I don't know that I've ever heard his voice.
But in the rotation, I do kind of agree with you. Everyone is very, I mean, Sale is a, you know, known hothead or whatever in years past, but it seems like everyone's very buttoned up. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's just like, oh, okay, let's go do it. They're not quite as like a quiet businessman like as the 90s Braves, but it does seem like nobody takes a lead there. Morton's a quiet professional, Fried's a quiet professional, Sale is acting like a quiet professional this year. And then, you know, the rest are call ups or Lopez. Yeah. So it's,
yeah, there's something about bench psychology and somebody there who both instills a sense of urgency but also positivity.
Mm-hmm.
People like Craig Counsell back in the day, or Jock Peterson, or whatever, right?
I don't think they lack in positivity. They were talking about, in actually Trump, the backup catcher.
Yeah.
He was talking about how this was the best clubhouse he's ever been in. Everyone loves each other, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and that's great.
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
And that is half of what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. We've said this every year since Jock Peterson left. Where's the urgency?
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you manufacture it. I don't know if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like having played sports my whole life, I feel like I've been in locker rooms or clubhouses or whatever the fuck where somebody was trying to do that, but it wasn't their natural attitude. And it's just like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
And everybody just gets irritated. I think you need that guy. In other sports, you call him a glue guy. I don't think people really say that in baseball, but that's what it is, right? And it's not glue. Like in basketball, it makes sense. So you got a guy who comes in off the bench, either scores or gets rebounds or plays great defense. Obviously, a glue guy holds the team together during their weak moments. But who's the guy? And this is the reason I'm talking about this is because of the goddamn playoffs. Like, who's that guy after 5 days off who the day prior calls everybody? He's like, hey, you fucking ready? Let's do this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And gets the adrenaline pumping and all this stuff. Gets them focused on positive outcomes in those games instead of being anxious for the first six innings of the first game. Because in a three or a five game series, you cannot waste one game. You can't. You
can barely waste an inning in a five game series.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know who that guy is. It's sometimes it can be a manager. Some managers are like that. It's very rare that a manager's like that because it gets a little needling after a while if it's the guy in charge doing all that stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But there are some managers who have been able to pull it off. A good manager will anoint the person on the roster who's supposed to do that and get the fuck out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who it is on the Braves roster to do that. I mean, I feel like Albies has the capability to do that. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Right? And the place that I see it the least is with Ronald Acuna. It's like it seems like he goes through the motions a lot.
A lot.
It's very irritating.
The body language.
Yeah, it's like, he might be the most talented baseball player I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, and look, he has had a great season. He's off to a slow start this year, but it is very, it's very disappointing for me as a fan to see somebody with that amount of talent waste at bats or jog over to places or watch the ball flying through the air instead of running the fucking bases and stuff like that. Like, what are you doing, man?
I mean, the thing with that happened yesterday in the game we ended up winning against Cleveland, game three of that series, go to extra innings again. Acuna's the zombie runner or whatever on second base because he was the last out of the inning before. And Albies is up. Literally a perfect chance to win the game in the 10th, right? Albies at the bat, Acuna on base. What more could you possibly want? Acuna, I still don't know what happened. It might have been, I mean, it's on Acuna no matter what, but it might also be on a bench coach or something like that he doesn't get out to second base in time, and Albies gets a strike called on him. Now, that is annoying as fuck in the regular season, but, like, you can't, that's the type of thing in the playoffs where it's like, you can't sacrifice a strike, really, especially in late game situations like that. The difference between an 0-0 count and an 0-1 count, fucking huge. You want your pitcher to be in an 0-1 count every fucking at bat.
Yeah.
It's that type of shit. And that wasn't even on the West Coast, but it always feels exacerbated on the first leg, especially of these West Coast trips, right? They have to go, this is probably the furthest they travel, Atlanta to Seattle. At any given point?
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they look like it. They look fucking jet-lagged.
And look, it happens. I mean, it's kind of early in the season to be dogged already, but, you know, it is, I mean, just going to Seattle in general would piss me off. So I get it, but to me, it's like, you see guys go through slumps, and maybe it's their swing's out of line, or they just don't have their timing or whatever or anything like that. And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes you just got to work your way out of a funk. But it reminds me of that scene in Moneyball where they keep losing games and everybody's like fucking partying, playing music in the clubhouse. And he's like, that's not what losing sounds like, right? And look, we're bitching about all this. The Braves had the highest winning percentage in all of Major League Baseball right now.
Right. Even with two losses in a row.
So it's like, all right, maybe calm the fuck down about it.
And again,
it isn't just about the result, though. To me, it's about the attitude. Acuña's striking out at a career high rate right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of that, just based on what I've seen, is a function of a bad approach at the plate. We've talked about this with him and other players on the Braves. And look, it's a thing in baseball, right? It's what separates really good players from great players, and it's what separates great players from legends, is the ability to focus. Every at-bat, you show up. Albert Pujols was that guy. He didn't give up any at-bats ever.
I was about to say, that name in particular, of all the baseball I've watched, you can talk about, you know, Chipper, Barry Bonds, fucking Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, whomever.
Maybe Ichiro was in that camp as well, but he was just slapping the ball, right?
Yeah. Albert Pujols, every single fucking at-bat.
He had a plan, and he executed his plan, and he didn't take his eye off the ball once. And look, maybe everybody isn't capable of doing that, and we're getting the best out of Acuña that we're ever going to get.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a function of age as well. You couldn't say that about Pujols because he came into the league and had the best 10-year opening of all time.
Yeah.
Now, he may have been 30 years old by the time he started. We don't know. Or at least like 25. He was probably 25.
There's no way he was 21.
Yeah. But, you know, again, this is what you have to complain about when your team wins 100 games every year and you have the best player in baseball, right?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, can we tighten it up a little bit, please? So it is kind of bitchy, I guess, from our perspective, but the numbers lately on the season for Acuña are pretty bad.
So let's get into that, because there's two offensive things I want to talk about today, Acuña and the Braves as a whole, but we'll get into Acuña first. So I think it's safe to say, I wrote an outline for the show, we ended up not doing it. Last week I was like, oh, you know what? Like, Acuña's numbers actually aren't that bad. They're not Acuña level, but as of last week, he had a WRC plus in the 120s. His OBP was over 400. He really was just lacking in power, right? This past week, the slump's gotten worse. We're a month into the season now. Yeah. It's officially a bad start at this point.
Yeah.
One homer and six RBI over the course of a month. Not good. WRC plus has dropped 23 points or something like that, I think, to 104. So he's still above league average, but that's not Acuña. I mean, 120 is barely Acuña. And what's really insane is that his slugging percentage is 318. Every hit's a base hit, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got 27 hits so far, and six of them are for extra bases. So 21 singles.
Yeah.
In 28 games. That's not enough, obviously. I mean, we expect a hit or two a game from this guy on a normal basis. He's not walking as much as you might hope a prototypical leadoff hitter would in previous years. Walking more this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's working on something. Like, he usually comes in at about 70 to 80 walks a season. Right now he's on pace for like 110.
Mm-hmm.
So that 80 to 110 is a huge leap. 30 more walks over the course of 650 or so plate appearances, or 700 plate appearances. That's a lot of fucking on-base percentage-wise.
Especially, too, the value add of the fact that he's a base stealer.
Yeah.
Right? An elite base stealer. So him on first base, a walk is a double half the time for him. More than half the time for him, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 13 steals right now. That's a pace of 78 for the year. Pretty good.
More than last year, right? He hit 74?
74, I think, okay. There's good and bad spots there. I just think it's hard, not considering all the behavior, and the thing that kind of irritates me about it, it seems like it's a focus issue, because I don't think it's a talent issue. He doesn't seem to be hurt or anything. It's just, watch, if you're a Braves fan out there and you're watching the games, watch his at-bats. And this, by the way, happens when people are in slumps sometimes. It's if we could figure out what's going on there, then we would be billionaires, right?
Because
we could fucking prevent slumps. That's not going to happen. So, but it is the case. Sometimes it looks like a fucking beach ball up there, and sometimes it looks like a pea. Sometimes every time you fucking guess, it's wrong. Sometimes you take a perfect strike and then swing at a fucking slider low and away. It happens, man. For a full month, though, it's like, all right, when's the adjustment going to be made,
right,
is the question, I guess. Because the same thing is going on with Olsen right now. He's had a very slow start. Not And that's the other reason we probably shouldn't be bitching too much, mm-hmm. is that literally 1-3 in the MVP race last year are off to slow starts, and we still have the best record in baseball. Right. By the way, the guy that struck out 300 people last year also not pitching.
Also not pitching, and then yeah. Austin Riley also off to a pretty shitty yeah. start. Our 1, 3, and 4 hitters are yeah. a league replacement at best mm. right
and
now.
Our 2 hitter missed 10 or 15 games yeah. with an injury, so it's yeah. like, all right, let's relax. But you know, I don't think it's necessarily bad. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. To have some struggle throughout the regular season mm-hmm. that makes you work harder and prepare, I think that is one of the keys to creating a sense of urgency that you might not get from a bench or role player or even a starter in some cases. I think that struggle does help. I mean, look at what happened in 21. A massive comeback, only won 88 games, had to go through the wild card process, play yeah. extra games in the playoffs, and it all worked out. Granted, we had the personnel to handle it, but we were missing our best player.
By the way, I was looking at his start to 2022 the other day, Acuna. Mm. Had he played that season to completion at that relative pace, that year would have been better than last year.
His you mean MVP in 21?
In 21, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was on pace for 50 home runs. And I don't know about this. I don't know if he would have had as many steals because the rules were different then.
Yeah.
But he was on pace for 50 home runs and like 120 RBI. And it was looking pretty good.
He was ripping the cover off the yeah. ball. What do you see from these numbers though? Because I kind of like, I don't, it is very interesting to me because I don't know what to make of it, right? So last week when I was looking at his stats, his launch angle was in the sixes. He has actually gotten it back up to 7.6. It was 7.4 last year. So that's about in line. And remember, we talked about last year, his launch angle used to be over 10. Mm. And then his MVP year, we noticed he's hitting a lot more ground balls and line drives. And that worked out great, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue with the results of that. He's still hitting the ball on the ground a lot. Which again is fine because he's fast and he hits the ball, typically hits the ball hard enough that it'll find holes. But the exit velocity and the barrel rate is down significantly.
Yeah.
Barrel rate's only 8% this year. Exit velocity is 91.2. It's not his career low, but it's like 3 ticks lower than last year. And 3 miles an hour on the ball is huge.
Yeah, it definitely is. Outside of his peripherals, as you said, Olsen and Riley have not looked particularly good either. I mean, the good news is all three of those guys play Gold Glove defense,
right?
So that's nice, and it hasn't affected them defensively. Not shocking for Olsen to get off to a slow start. I think a big guy like that with a long swing is going to get off to slow starts most of the time, probably.
So an interesting thing about Olsen that I read, I was kind of hoping wasn't true, is that he's had good years basically every year of his major league career, but he is kind of a every other year guy in terms of like find a good year and then in like last year an insane year, and then he kind of – that's how his career has gone so far. And if you remember in 22, he got off to a slow start as well.
Yeah, let's see, 22, his first year with the Braves, and they were moving around the lineup, but still, he had a good first month, not power-wise, but he hit .293 the first month, but May and June were rough.
Yeah.
.240, .234, stuff like that, even into September, I don't know, we'll see how it goes for him. I feel like this is gonna, I mean, it's always turned around. Riley's never had a bad year.
No, the worst year he probably had was his rookie year when he was in left field a bunch and
yeah.
it's kind of like he was boom or bust, right? Yeah. If he put the bat on the ball, it was good, but he had trouble doing that.
Yeah, but his last 3 years, I mean, he's averaging a 6 to 6.5 wins above replacement.
Right.
So I'm not worried about any of these guys. I just think it's like, it's time for, and I'm sure he's doing this, but Seitzer needs to, you know, light a fire under some of these guys' asses. I wonder how much of this, because we're talking about two of these guys we're talking about were best friends with Wash. I wonder how much of him being gone has affected the clubhouse and who's kind of taken on the role of being the cheerleader now.
Who?
Because it's not Eddie Perez, right?
No, no. Who are you talking about?
Riley and Olsen, yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm not, like, Acuna is, the Latinx guys all seem to fucking hang out.
Yeah.
Although he, like, Harris hangs out with those guys too a lot. Yeah. Who's having a great year, by the way. Harris is going to win an MVP in his career.
He's looked fantastic, and he's still clearly not a polished hitter.
No, he's, to be honest, we talked about it, what, a month ago maybe, about if I were a good pitcher, I could get him out every single time just by throwing low and inside sliders. He can't lay off of it, right?
Yeah.
The problem is you either miss and hit him or you hang it and it's fucking a tater, right? But still, despite that, doing really well. Kalenic's kind of came back to earth a little bit. Some growing pains, some adjustments need to be made there.
You know, that's the nine hitter, or at least in normal times is the nine hitter. I think he's kind of flip flopping around with Tromp right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Harris is on pace for over 200 hits right now, which is pretty wild. He's only walked six times in 115 at bats. So, you know, maybe some discipline. The Braves are striking out a lot more this year than they did last year. They're not hitting as many home runs.
Well, that's why I want to get in on the Braves offense here. Actually, real quick, we'll talk about that after we talk about our sponsor, which is MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.com to double your first deposit up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. It's where we make all of our picks. We got some gambling picks coming up later for the weekend, a couple good series, I think, to bet on. Also, they have a live casino. Me and Delco Dan play it every Friday on Casino Friday. We play blackjack specifically. It's live with real dealers. So it's like a video feed. It's not like a sketchy online casino where you just like it's like a, you know, solitaire on your old PC or something like that. And they're just flipping electric cards up. This is a real live human being that deals real cards. So, you know, it's legit. It's super fun to play. We love doing it. It's been a blast so far. I think one of our listeners said they won like $2,000 in the casino the other day, playing blackjack in particular. But if you deposit up to $1,000 and use the promo code Drinking Bros for that first deposit, they will double it. They'll double it. They'll match it, whatever. So if you put in $500, they'll give you $500. You put in $50, that's all you got. They'll give you a free $50 to play with. It's awesome. We love MyBookie. The live betting is fun too. Ross has been real big on live betting the Nuggets Lakers because the Lakers would go up every single game and then inevitably blow that game. We'll see what happens in the second round. But NBA playoffs, fun to bet on as well. And if you're a real sicko, you can bet on the NHL playoffs, which are a blast, but I have no read on those games. So I feel like you're kind of a lunatic if you're betting NHL playoff hockey, but you do you.
I do from time to time.
Really?
But it depends. I mean, there are a lot of hockey has indicators that other sports don't have other than just the roster composition or momentum and stuff that I think makes it on a game to game basis in the playoffs. It makes it a little bit more easy to bet. I'm not going to share my methods with you because fuck all of you people. Cause I actually make money doing it. But the main thing is, look at the previous game and see if it's the previous games for turnovers in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And the team that protects the puck in the neutral zone better is one primary indicator. And the second primary indicator out of three is the hotness of the goalie. If the goalie's hot, yeah. Obviously I think everybody knows that one. And the third one is power play percentages.
Yeah.
Who does, like, how often a team commits penalties and how they do on the penalty kill versus power play and stuff like that. You can figure it out, but you got to really fucking pay attention on those. It's not like
it's a deep cut. Yeah.
It's not like you look down the roster of a football team like, oh, they'll probably score 24 points, right? It just doesn't work that way because they could score fucking 8 or 10. That's what makes it very difficult. Which is the same as baseball, by the way. It's like any day could be fucking different.
Yeah. 100%. MyBookie.com, the place to do it. Let's talk about the Braves offense, though, because I looked into this and I almost felt like I looked at this. Look, the talent is there regardless. I'm not worried about the talent of this lineup, but reading some of these statistics, it does feel like you're reading like a stats for like a real estate bubble or something. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like right now, even though they're performing how they are performing currently does not feel sustainable. I'm going to run down some numbers for you. And again, it's a month, which is not an insignificant sample size of a season, but it is not a determinate sample size either, right? It's not like half a season or something like that. So they're 20th in the majors in homers, which is bizarre more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Ozuna obviously has been crushing the ball, but pretty much everyone else is behind the sticks as far as what we thought their homer pace would be. 17th in walk percentage, so bottom half of the league in that. Not ideal. Middle of the pack in strikeouts, that's fine. I think that's kind of where we always are as far as I know. We're not necessarily terrible about it, but we're not a contact team either by any means with the amount of power we reach for. Here's where I get scared. We have the highest batting average on balls in play in baseball. Second highest batting average. So we also have the second highest on base percentage, but it's not buoyed by something sustainable like walks.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely floated by our batting average on balls in play.
That's interesting. I mean, I would need to see more. I want to know what the exit velo and launch angle are.
I was about to look that up, actually.
As a team, that would be interesting to see. Because if you've got a high BABIP, but your average exit velo as a team is like 92 miles per hour, then it makes sense, right?
Right.
Because you're hitting the fuck out of the ball, and it's going to find holes that way. Or if your launch angle's high and you're hitting a lot of fucking extra base hits or home runs or whatever. I mean, obviously, they're not hitting home runs. Where do they rank otherwise in extra base hits? Let's see.
So they're third in the league in slugging.
Yeah, so they must be hitting a fuck ton of doubles then, is the point I was making.
They are. I believe they... I'll have to look it up.
They're second in doubles.
Okay.
69 doubles. The Dodgers are first with 70. So, you know, they're doing pretty well there. And by the way, the difference between where they are at 19th place now after yesterday in home runs and fourth place is 7 home runs, right? Yeah. So it's not a huge gap, but the gap between doubles is pretty huge. So it's 70 and 69 for the Dodgers and Braves. The next team is 10 behind with 59, and then 58 and 51, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the difference between second and fifth place is 18 doubles. So right. they're getting it done. They're just not hitting home runs right now, which is weird for this team, to be honest. Maybe it has something to do with travel or the places they played. I think more it's just their three primary home run hitters other than Ozuna are not hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Right. But they're getting a fuckload of doubles. So, you know, I don't know. There, some people say that home runs are rally killers and they would prefer a double.
Which I'm like, kind of whatever on. But, I mean, you know, I guess granted, you could say they've had some rough series hitting-wise early on in terms of environment.
Mm.
That White Sox series was a disaster. Like, weather-wise, was a disaster.
Yeah. Didn't one of those games get pushed?
It did, yeah. Later in the year? And the other two were... one didn't finish. It ended in the eighth. Mm. And then I believe the Mets series was really cold as well. Obviously, the rest of these have been... fine. Houston, Texas, Miami, blah, blah, blah. They are also fifth in base running for wins above replacement in base running. So they're making the most of they're running the bases intelligently, which is nice. I wonder, I guess you could say doubles are probably so home runs do not count for batting average on balls in play, right? Because the ball is never in play.
Yeah.
I guess you could say, essentially, that doubles are probably a BABIP booster naturally because you're much more likely, if you hit a ball like that, for it to land in play than a single, right? A singles or a potential single is quite a bit more fieldable than a double would be. So maybe that is the reason that their batting average on balls in play is still so high. I am a little bit... worried about the walk percentage. I mean, Acuna's there. He has the highest of his career, but the rest of them seem to be lagging and I don't know, just getting on base with a way that isn't a hit I mean, do you see anything here that worries you, or is it just kind of like weird?
Well, on some of the counting stats, we've had two or three games postponed so far.
Yes.
So
I think one was immediately made up because that Philly opening day was immediately made up the next day. But I think all the rest have not been.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the schedule here, or at the stat line here, and most teams have at least one more game. I'm sorry, a lot of teams, there are some teams that have one more game played than the Braves, but most teams have two or three more games played than them at this point.
Okay.
So, you know, you're going to have some counting stats that are off a little bit, but, you know, the other stuff, I don't know, the batting average is still high. They're still having success. So, you know, not time to worry too much about that. I just think this is it's a function of your three best players not getting the job done right now.
The entire top of the lineup. I mean, our best offensive players so far have been Albies, Azuna, and Arcia, probably. And
Harris has done well.
Yeah.
And
Darno had a nice
Darno
week.
Had a good week. Yeah, but other than that, it's pretty much been three guys. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, and thankfully the defense has been fantastic.
Yeah, the defense is always. I mean that's defense and the pitching has been good too for the most part. Like we're kind of. Let's see. Last year, I think we led Major League Baseball in strikeouts. This year, we're ranked 26th.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that.
Yep. But for some of the other stat lines, like quality starts, we're 9th.
Okay.
And we're one behind the 5th place team.
Okay.
The team whip is 6th. So, you know, there's a lot of good indicators there. Yeah. They're Boston, by the way, I haven't noticed this yet, but Boston has 6 shutouts this year.
Weird.
I mean, there were team shutouts, I would imagine, because nobody throws a full one anymore. But they have 10 quality starts on the year, and 6 of them were shutouts.
That's bizarre.
That's unsustainable is what that is. 100%. That's why I think the bottom's going to fall out of Boston at some point.
I wonder if they had a lot of home games early on, and I say that because it was a really cold start to the season up north. Like, a lot of games looked like they were being played in absolutely freezing cold weather. So I wonder if they had some home games where they kind of were beneficiaries of a tougher environment to hit the ball in. But yeah, Boston, I don't buy long term at all. I mean, that division's such a grind. I will say, we can get more into this when we talk about our picks for this weekend. Might be out on the Rays. My God, they are just losing me money left and right.
Yeah, I haven't been betting on them recently.
I'm out. I'm not touching them.
It's you know, Eflin is not looking good, and Savali is not looking good.
No,
and the offense has been really fucking bad. I mean, Randy Arozarena is hitting 143 right now.
Yeah,
And he's the best player on that team. And if you look up and down there, I mean, they have a lot of people on the IL as well. And Wander Franco is...
Is he still a fugitive?
In prison somewhere, probably. I have no idea. I mean, he should be a fugitive or a prisoner, one of the two.
Rays Wander Franco's criminal cases may fall apart if prosecutors can't convince judge by deadline. This is from a month ago. Although I don't know if he's going to play again, because he was absolutely banging a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, you know... That's not not something that most people like.
No. Like, undeniably having sex with a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's... Has he said he didn't or denied anything? I don't think so, right?
I don't know.
How would you?
But it seems like the evidence is there, if I had to guess. Because he... I mean, there's texts. It's all a whole thing.
Yeah. I wonder... I do wonder if the Braves are... already at this point in the season looking into making any moves. I mean, the one thing about our fearless leader is that he doesn't overreact, which I like.
Yeah.
Of all the stuff that he's not good at, being steady and stable is definitely something he's good at. Now, maybe you need a wartime consigliere during the playoffs.
Yeah.
A different guy. Not like the manager Snicker could say the same, but maybe you need to bring in fucking Randy the Macho Man Savage to motivate the team in the playoffs or something like that. But I do like how he's kind of stalwart through the season and lets people figure it out on their own. And, you know, you have the flexibility to do that when you know your team is going to win no matter what, right, basically. But I do wonder what, if any, moves they might make as the season progresses, because there are teams, not necessarily that are going to be sellers, but there are teams who are supposed to be good and have good players who are fucking dog shit this year.
Yeah.
Like Toronto, for example. You got to wonder when they're going to start pulling out some of that payroll and getting rid of it. It's not worked. It's been 4 years of this project now, mm-hmm, with these guys, and it's not worked. They're minus 26 in run differential this year, and they're playing in one of the most competitive divisions in baseball. Like, at what point do you try to change course and manage for the future? The White Sox still have a number of players on their team that are pretty good.
Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez. Luis Robert's on the IL, but
I think Jimenez is definitely good.
Jimenez. I mean, even they even have guys that are like the types of dudes you see moving at the deadline, like Tommy Pham.
Yeah, we're not getting Tommy Pham.
No,
our clubhouse hates him apparently, yeah, because of that bullshit he pulled with Jock back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. To be honest, because there's a lot of talent out there. I wouldn't say up for grabs, but there's a lot of talent out there. I don't know if the Angels have anything left to give. We didn't talk about this yet, but Trout is,
I know,
they put him on the 10-day, but he's got to have surgery to repair a torn meniscus, so he's probably going to be gone until August or September.
Yeah.
And will he even come back, you know, this year?
At this
year?
Point, if they do ever trade him, I mean, they're going to have to eat so much of that contract.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's, yeah, a complete liability. I would take him for the right amount of contract being eaten. Mm. You know what I mean? But like, it's, you don't know if he's gonna fucking play or anything. I mean, the Marlins will have guys, I imagine, to move in between Jazz Chisholm and Luis Arraez and who's the other fucking guy that they have that's not terrible?
Well, I mean, they got some pitchers, young pitchers.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll unload any of the pitching. That would be a mistake, probably. But and you got to wonder if the Astros are going to, if they can't turn it around, if they're still under 400 winning percentage by the All-Star break, are they going to fucking try to do something? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. This team is still good. They're not performing right now, but I don't think you're going to be able to, they don't have anybody at first base right now. They have some fucking Loper Fido. I don't even know who that guy is. And he's hitting 200 with no home runs. But I don't think Jeremy Pena is good. Yes. He's having a great year this year. Doesn't hit for a lot of power. He's hitting 327, though.
Yeah. Bregman's dead.
Bregman is hitting 216. He might be – like, there are some players who are fucking really, really good from, like, 24 to 28, mm-hmm, and then vanish off the face of the earth, right?
Yeah.
It's happened many, many times over the years. Altuve looks great. As usual, there's nobody on base for him ever
because
he's a fucking leadoff guy. He's only got 9 RBI. But Kyle Tucker's still really good. Everybody knows Jordan Alvarez. I don't think that anybody would even consider breaking this team up.
I think, yeah, no, not at all. And the pitching's still there. I mean, they've got several guys on the IL, both Robert and Luis Garcia and Framber Valdez both on the IL right now.
Yeah.
Well,
Framber's back now, I think. I think he is back off the IL. I think he's going to pitch. He pitched on Sunday. 5 innings, 2 runs. He looked great.
I'm sorry. Framber. Christian Javier.
Well, Framber was – he missed almost all of April. He only had 2 starts in April. Christian Javier is still out. I think he's out for the year, though, right?
Luis Garcia is coming back from TJ, and then Christian Javier just got put on the 15-day – but he's actually close to coming back as well.
Good. Oh, it's a neck strain. Okay, good. We'll see if they come back. My position is if by the All-Star break, if they're not in contention, then there's probably a shot, if not a good shot, that Verlander goes somewhere to get the opportunity to win again, right, to a contender. I would love that. right?
Yeah.
We wanted him last year. I talked to his brother about it, actually. I'm like, please tell him to go to fucking Atlanta.
Yeah.
But Atlanta wasn't interested. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
But I do think
down
the stretch, like in August, September, and October, for a team that like the Braves, would love to have him. To be honest, even if he only provided slightly above replacement level performance, having him in that clubhouse would be a huge boost for these guys.
I agree.
So that's something. We're coming up close on the dog days. May, June are fucking long months for baseball. So if you're kind of getting checked out already because everybody's on cruise control, these are some things to keep in mind. The Pirates suck too, and are always going to suck, it looks like.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to come up off of Cabrian Hayes or O'Neill Cruz, but you might be able to. Brian Reynolds is on an extremely friendly contract. Mm-hmm. I can't believe he's still in Pittsburgh right now. It drives me crazy.
The return you could get for him with that contract is outrageous.
Yeah. And then, I don't think Mitch Keller's having a bad year. They should have traded him at the deadline last year and gotten value. They didn't do it. So hopefully that'll motivate them to move some pieces around this year, because Pittsburgh is a true poverty franchise. They never have a shot.
I think they were the last North American franchise whose owner was not a billionaire.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get out of here, let's get into some picks for the weekend or earlier. I took Friday this week. I like game ones a lot. Not a ton of series I love, but a couple that I really liked. The Blue Jays are facing... Who are they facing? God damn it, I didn't do this in order. The Blue Jays are facing the Nats. Big fan of that, because the Nats are trash. And then the Blue Jays have Kikuchi going on Friday. He's been excellent so far this year. ERA under 3. And our old friend Patrick Corbin is throwing for the Nationals.
Oh, my God. What's his ERA this year?
6.82.
He's had a 6... or higher ERA for a couple of years in a row now, I believe.
Yeah. He is still employed somehow.
That's wild. I'm impressed. So 4.66 during the COVID year, but then 5.82, 6.31, 5.20 last year, a little bit better.
Okay.
6.82 this year with a 1.89 whip.
Just a fucking nightmare.
My God, man.
The Angels are at the Guardians, and Bibby's pitching. Big fan of that. Then there is the Cardinals. They're playing the White Sox. The White Sox are a little bit hot right now, surprisingly. But Sonny Gray is going for the Cardinals, and he's been their one bright spot on the whole fucking roster, basically, this year. He's 3-1 with a 1.16 ERA. So I'm going to take that. I probably won't touch that series for the rest of it, though.
Yeah.
And then Yankees-Tigers... where was that game? Because the Yankees had Stroman going, I believe. Yeah, the Yankees have Stroman. It's actually a pretty good pitching matchup. Olsen's going for the Tigers. He's 0-4, but he's a 3.18 ERA. But I'll take the Yankees at home with Stroman on the mound over the Tigers.
So I'm betting a 5-game parlay on Sunday. The first one I'm taking, and look, I'm getting bored now, so I'm doing different stuff.
Yeah.
So bear with me, but let's see. Got it. All right. So the first one is Pirates over the Rockies. The Rockies are the worst team in baseball, probably. Maybe they let homeboy go somewhere where there's actual
Chris Bryant,
where there's actual people who want to play baseball. I think he's on the IL right now, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he is. But it would be nice to see him in a real fucking on a real baseball team again. I like that guy. I think he's he's a fucking hustler, man. Like, he's put up MVP quality seasons, but he's still, if the manager's like, hey, I need you to play fucking short field today, he's like, all right, whatever, man. Anyways, Pirates over the Rockies, I think that's a pretty good matchup. Falter, who's pitching for the Pirates, if you look at his top level stats, you're like, oh, 4.22 ERA, that's not good. It's been a couple of West Coast starts that have fucked him up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's going, like, he held the Phillies to one run in 6 innings. He's like, when he's at home in Pittsburgh, he pitches really well, and he's going against the Rockies, who cannot hit for shit. Nope. So Pirates over the Rockies. The next one is the Indians over the Angels. Now the Angels, the two guys pitching, Carlos Carrasco and Canning, both have like seven ERAs. But the Indians have been playing really well, especially at home. Yeah. They're winning 75% of their games at home. So, you know, that's the next one. And then Rangers over Royals.
Over Royals?
Yeah. And it's because Josiah Gray is going for the Rangers, and he's just been fucking really good this year. He hasn't gotten a lot of run support from them, but it looks like it's going to be a bullpen game for the Royals, so I feel like they're probably going to light him up. I mean, Texas hasn't been light. They haven't been going crazy this year, but they still have a crazy-ass offense.
The lineup's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one game. Then, and look, that's a gamble because we're gambling. Right. There's no such thing as free money here. But I think that Texas is going to turn around pretty soon and fucking start putting up big offensive numbers, and this seems like one of the games that might get them going as a catalyst. Next up is Giants over Phillies. I like the Phillies this year, but Taijuan Walker's pitching this game on Sunday, and he fucking sucks, dude. I don't know what you're looking at. Taijuan Walker's got an 8.5 ERA. Now the good news for the Phillies is that it's at home. It's a home game. They're 10-6 at home, doing really well. Giants are going west to east, which is not easy. But I still think that the Giants will win this game. And then the last one, that was it. That's five. No, I'm sorry. The last one is Reds over Orioles, which normally I wouldn't take a game like this, but Lodolo from Cincinnati has been a fucking monster.
He's
this
an animal,
year, especially at home. He's been lighting it up. He's got like a fucking 0.8 whip with a 188 ERA. He hasn't lost a game yet. And Kremer from Baltimore, pretty good.
Yeah.
Back of the rotation guy, but he's not like this is a mismatch in spots in the rotation for them. And it's at home for the Reds, and that's a goddamn launch pad for them.
Dude,
so
don't let those Reds into the playoffs. Lodolo and Hunter Green at the top of the rotation. That's the type of dudes that's the type of like hard throwing, no name rotation that'll get you through October.
I fucking love Lodolo. I really, man. Fucking sucks that we haven't been able to poach, or somebody hasn't been able to poach him. Like he had a sophomore slump last year, had some injuries, blah blah blah. But the stuff was clearly there, and this year we're fucking seeing it.
Yep.
Really like that dude. I like the whole roster with the Reds, by the way. So, anyways, that's my 5-team parlay. That's for Sunday, by the way, if you're making bets.
That's it, and we'll drop them in the Drinking Bros Sports group. For Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. See you later.